This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we are currently watching the wild card game, Cubs versus Rockies. Wayland is, I'm going to say figuratively, on the edge of his seat because he's actually sort of slumping in my couch, depressed.
I'm also not feeling well, so if you hear sniffles, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to try not to sniffle. It's just a disaster.
A disaster of a day. I mean, it's not, well,
By the time this comes out, this game will be over.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, it's 1-0 Rockies. That's not a disaster.
Yes, for all we know, the Cubs win 15-1.
On this episode, we will be making our playoff picks. We are going to choose our favorite and least favorite Miami/Florida Marlins of all time, which we did not get to last week. Before we get to any of that, thanks to Boardwalk Audio for their help as always. You can support Boardwalk by going to ducksnortpodcast.com. Click the support our artist link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. Boardwalk and Ducksnort get a small percentage of the proceeds. Also, thanks to offthebenchbaseball.com. They'll be bringing lots of great coverage throughout the playoffs. You should definitely check it out. This is the time of year to get addicted to looking at baseball sites, the most exciting time of year. So offthebenchbaseball.com, definitely check out what those guys are doing for their coverage. As I'm sure everybody who is listening to this knows, there were two game 163s on Monday, tiebreakers to determine who would be in the NL wildcard game and who would be the Central and West champions. And the results of that, of course, were that the Brewers and Dodgers won, and now the Cubs and Rockies are facing each other. And so I suppose, yeah, I'm not sure how to talk about this game since it'll be over by the time that people are listening to it. I guess we should make our predictions just so they're on the record.
Right. I'm sorry. I was under the impression that we were going to talk about the Twins firing
Paul Molitor
for an hour and a half. And Mike Socha is stepping down.
Yeah.
Is that not what we're doing?
I mean, we can. Here are my thoughts on it. Paul Molitor is boring. Now you talk for an hour and a half.
Okay, I'll talk about an hour and a half. I'm getting distracted by this game this whole time. Do you want to make predictions about this game while it's going on? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think so. We should predict. I think, you know, we want to get on record with our playoff predictions, our playoff thoughts, and I think to have a full record of it, we should pick.
I think so. Here's what, though. I thought about this all the way on the drive over. This is real.
Okay.
I cannot, in good conscience, pick the Cubs while a Cubs game is going on.
Oh, you don't want to
jinx them. You made me jinx them earlier, and I'm not going to re-jinx them.
Okay.
So I can't.
That's fair.
I can't pick this game, but I think I could still successfully navigate the picks of the rest of the thing without picking this game. But I would like to hear your thoughts about the game.
Okay. I think the Cubs will win this game.
Oh, well, that's good. That's so nice to hear.
I don't want to jinx them for you either, although
I don't think it's a jinx if a non-Cubs
right.
Them.
Personally, my preference is the Rockies win this game because I am in favor of chaos for the playoffs, as we've talked about before. Yeah. You know, games in Coors Field, I want as many sort of like non-traditional teams in the playoffs. By traditional, I mean like, you know,
not recent
favorites, you know, the usual suspects. And the American League is full of usual suspects with the exception of the A's. So, yes, I would like the Rockies to win, but I think that the Cubs will likely pull it out. We'll see.
I hope so. Lester looks good after giving up a Rocky first inning.
That's a Rocky first inning. Well done. Wow. Well done. I tip my cap.
Definitely on purpose. one of the biggest bummers about the way that games 163 went was that because Rockies, as we talked about all season, are essentially my second NL team.
Right.
And now it's I don't think there will be a situation unless I guess someone does like a huge dick move, like a Chase Utley level dick move, that I'll hate the Rockies after this if they win. So I still feel like if the Rockies win, they'll still be my team in the NL that I'm pulling for.
That's interesting.
I mean, usually I get very bitter and hate the team that beats.
Yeah, sure.
But the other thing is, if the Rockies win, they'll immediately be going to play the Brewers, and there's zero chance that I'll root for the Brewers.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, it's part of why
it's
I was
not win win. But
would
it's
much
like
rather this game been the Dodgers. It would have been much more devastating to lose to the Dodgers in this game. But mm-hmm. It's a pretty big bummer that this game has to be against the Rockies.
Yeah.
Putting my Cubs fandom aside.
Somewhat interesting side note is I put a poll on our Twitter that was asking who people were bandwagoning for.
Oh, okay.
Whether it was the Brewers, the Rockies, the A's, or the Braves.
Okay.
Brewers and A's are about even.
Okay.
Braves are maybe a little bit behind. And almost nobody
picked the
chose
Rockies.
The Rockies, which I was very surprised by.
The A's makes a ton of sense. The A's, I feel like, is situational because, well, like we said, it's like the A's versus the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's very easy to, like, I'm bandwagoning the A's. Like,
yeah.
In that poll, I might have picked the A's just because they're the only team out of the American League that would be interesting for me to come out of the American League.
I guess that's
to go
true.
To the World Series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is interesting that the Rockies fell so low.
And behind the Braves, too.
The Braves are just so fun to watch.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I've been... They are really fun. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about... I mean, maybe it's the Coors Field thing. Maybe it's the lack of, like, franchise success historically that makes me interested in seeing the Rockies succeed.
Yeah.
But I think... I would go Brewers, personally.
I think in, like, a vacuum...
Yeah.
I would go Brewers.
They're a really fun team, and I like the way that they've been built. I like that they sort of avoided the tanking thing that everybody's doing. And then I think I would go Rockies/A's about even, and then Braves for me.
I think I would go Rockies. I mean, I know I said A's, but just like taking the league consideration out of it, I would go Rockies and then Braves, I think. I don't know why. I used to hate the Braves so much.
I mean,
it's just,
I think
fun and like they're so. It's
yeah.
It would just be so. I mean, the Rockies would be the most disruptive,
for sure.
Even more so than the A's, I think. I think the true most disruptive team to go to the World Series would be the Rockies.
Yeah, and I know you're a big Silicon Valley guy who's all about disruption.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that makes sense.
If I was a Silicon Valley guy, I'd go for the A's, right?
Oh,
there's
maybe.
No way. Most Silicon Valley guys are Giants fans, right?
Oh, for sure.
A's are like the blue collar.
Yeah, definitely.
It has to be that way.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they probably aren't baseball fans. Really cool. They're a bunch of computer dorks.
That's who's baseball fans.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah. If anybody's a baseball fan, it's computer dorks.
Yeah. Speaking of computer dorks, we're watching the StatCast broadcast.
Oh,
ESPN
yeah.
is simulcasting
oh,
this on
so
ESPN. With their Sunday Night Baseball crew, and then on ESPN2 with Jason Benetti, Eduardo Perez, and Mike Petrillo, who's a writer for MLB.com focused on StatCast. And it is fascinating. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I love Jason Benetti. He's the White Sox play-by-play guy. He's been a guest on this podcast.
He has been a guest.
But it's also like they have a lot of like graphic layovers that are sort of giving you probabilities and telling you underlying facts about player skill sets that are really interesting.
That outfield graphic is really cool. They put like a circle around them and then have all the directions and red, yellow, green them.
Yeah, like how
people
good they are like going forward or backwards or to the side or whatever. They have a similar graphic leadoffs of first base to say give like a sort of live stolen base probability based on how big their lead is.
Greg, are you old enough to remember before having the score on the screen all the time?
No.
Yeah. So it's just crazy for me because I am. It's crazy for me to think about where we are.
Yeah.
In
the amount of information
years.
That they have on screen. Well, we were just talking before we started recording a little bit about the NFL, which I have not been watching much of this year, but it seems like they have a new thing in the NFL now, which is like a darker green zone or something
like
that.
Because I haven't been listening to announcers a lot, mostly when I work or watch the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure what that is still.
It's like in addition to the yellow first down line.
Yeah.
which I guess it makes it slightly clearer. I don't know. It's strange that it doesn't add a lot of information. It does add more like visual, like clutter to me in a way.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think that the first down line is the biggest graphic innovation.
Yeah.
It may be sports history.
Oh, absolutely.
It's insane to watch. Like, if you ever just watch a clip of old football game and it's not there, you're like, how?
Yeah.
How did we do this?
Right. Have you ever seen any of the clips from when they tried to do it in the NHL, where they tried to make the
hockey puck
blue?
Dude, I remember
it's crazy looking.
The hype that they had behind that, because they introduced it like November. They didn't even introduce it at the beginning of the season. It was like a mid-season edition. And still during NFL games, whatever network had that. I think it was Fox. I think Fox got hockey. They hyped it. It was like a tune in for the. It was like a Michael Jackson music video
for the blue buck.
They didn't tell you what it was.
Oh, really?
They just said to the one of the greatest innovations.
Oh my
God! And then
what a horrible build-up.
I watched the first game. I was like probably 13 or something. I was like, well, I got to see what this is. And I was like, this is terrible. It was terrible. It was so dumb.
Wow.
But
yeah.
I am old enough to remember. But here's the one reason I didn't like the scores being on the screen. It's great. Obviously, you want the score and the count. It's the best thing.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing. But if I was watching sports, I could always tell like my sister, if she wanted to watch TV, to be like, I'm just watching to see until I see the score.
Oh.
And if I could like look away, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I missed the score. And so that robbed me of that ability to watch sports longer in my house before I had like a TV in my bedroom.
Based on like a loophole.
Yeah. And then they just had it there. Anyway, what a digression.
A good digression, Statcast, I think.
Yeah, Statcast.
So you don't want to jinx this game.
I can't jinx this game.
Which is fair, but let's make, I guess, and I'll leave it to you how to make it. Let's make the rest of our National League.
I thought about this the whole drive over here for reals. So as to not derail the pre-planned idea of making predictions.
Okay, that's fair. So we have, in my universe, we have Brewers Cubs.
Yes.
And we have Braves Dodgers.
Yes.
Let's talk Braves Dodgers, since we know those teams
Great.
Are for sure.
Do you want to do, are we just making predictions? Or are we doing the very silly game? You want to do a number of games?
We could take a guess, but I think that I'm just picking who I think is going to win.
Okay, cool. Braves Dodgers.
Yeah. I'm going Dodgers.
I'm going Braves.
Braves.
I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, these picks are going to be so influenced by who I want to win.
That's fair.
But I don't think it's crazy to pick the Braves.
I don't think it's crazy. I do think they're an underdog. I think.
Yes. Oh, totally agree.
The Dodgers in September were the Dodgers that we were waiting to see the entire season for the most part. Like they're pretty healthy.
Yeah.
They're very deep. I think the one thing that is sort of unpredictable for them, as with I think many of the teams we'll talk about, is the bullpen. But I think they have sort of that in the lineup. They can mix and match as much as anybody, if not more.
You know what? I'm changing my pick. I'm picking the Dodgers.
Really?
Yeah. You're convincing me.
And I think, you know, they've got Kershaw. They've got Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler's been pitching so well. Kershaw will not start game one. Ryu will start game one.
Oh, I mean, he's been great this year.
Kershaw game two, and I'm going to game two. So
you are?
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Evan's coming into town. I just happened like right before I came.
Did you guys get tickets already?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Ticket. Yeah. He was going to go with a friend, and then something happened, and he was like, we're going.
Nice. Very jealous.
Yeah. I've never been to a playoff game.
Yeah, me neither.
So I'll see two teams that I'm not particularly interested in. But now I get to see Kershaw pitch in a playoff game. So the Braves will win that game.
I mean, Kershaw has, very famously not been great in the playoffs. And he maybe was only like 85% of his normal self this year.
Yeah.
But I still think that 85% of Kershaw is better than any starter the Braves have.
Yeah, I agree. Here's what I think, too. I think it's going to be very hard for the Braves to win in Dodger Stadium, especially those first two games.
I think the one thing that, you know, maybe the Braves maybe could carry the Braves to winning the series or at least winning a couple of games is that they're so young, that sort of like
who cares?
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know kind of a thing. Like they don't know to be nervous. They don't know to like that kind of thing, you know?
I think they have to win one game in LA and I think they have to win game three in Atlanta.
Well, they have to win at least one game in LA.
Well, I mean, one of the first two games in LA. I don't think they're going to beat them.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I think that if they go down 2-1, I think it's going to be very hard for them to win.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Game one or two, and then they have to win game three. I know that's a dumb thing to say, like objectively, but to me, it feels like that's the momentum they need. Is they need to kind of be staying on top of it, as opposed to if they feel like they're fighting back. I think it's going to be hard for the Braves. So I'm going to pick the Dodgers.
I buy that.
I think it's just because the atmosphere at Dodger Stadium is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, because you witnessed that game. We went to two games. We went to the next game.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere was insane.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when it's like you've got 55,000 people in a stadium or whatever, and Dodgers fans get pretty passionate.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm going to pick the Dodgers. I switched my pick. I want to be the Braves, but I'll pick the Dodgers.
I wonder what the atmosphere will be like at the Braves Stadium.
I feel like it'll be pretty good because they're pretty. I don't know though, because even when the Braves were good, remember they complained about the fans being not super passionate. Like that was a legitimate. Like Dave Justice in like 1996 complained about the fans not showing up.
Yeah,
but now they're
in the suburbs and tickets are probably more expensive and it's hard. Yeah, I'm just curious.
I don't think it's gonna be like Dodger Stadium.
Yeah,
I think that of the five National League playoff teams as of recording this that exist, the Braves have the least home field advantage.
I think Cubs
and Dodgers fans are going to be great. Brewers fans are going to be off the charts great.
They came out for game 163 too at Wrigley.
So I think Brewers fans are going to be insanely good. And then I think Rockies have a home field advantage. I think their fans will be good. They'll be better than Braves fans. But I think Brewers might be the most fanatic maybe of the NL teams.
Could be. Fan-wise. I mean, what Rocktober was pretty nuts. If they can bring that energy again, I think that definitely propelled the Rockies in 08.
Yeah, I think they definitely
will. 08? Was it 08?
Rocktober was 07.
07.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other series then.
Which is Cubs-Brewers for you.
Cubs-Brewers, yeah. I'm going to say. And I'm going to pick the Brewers to win.
I'm going to predict the winner of the Cubs-Rockies game.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, there's zero chance I'm picking the Brewers over the Cubs.
Okay, and, fair.
The Brewers have been playing super well lately.
Yeah.
Like, they're very, very hot.
Yeah.
And I think that, man, the Brewers-Rockies is, like, one of the most fun playoff series I can almost imagine, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, in recent memory, has there been a series that just, like, on paper should be that fun?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends what fun means to you as a fan, you know.
Well, I mean, just like it's going to be an offensive showcase.
Sure. Although the Rockies offense is actually not good adjusting for like.
That's true. Park.
Yeah.
Park but they effects. Do have like, I mean, we know we were talking before we went on air that Blackman's having a decent offensive year. He's just not good.
Yeah.
I mean, like their star power for the Rockies, like with Story and Arenado, and like they have high highs.
Yeah, and I'd love to see that Brewers lineup in Coors because they have a ton of power. Aguilar and like I think Thames is coming off the bench now, but Arcia power, but like Moustakas, like they have power up and down the lineup.
Ground ball king, Christian Yelich.
Yeah, true.
I think that objectively, that's like a super fun potential matchup.
But I think the Brewers, they've been so hot. Yelich has been such a monster. And I think they, among the NL teams, have the one bullpen that you can like really count on to be a game changer. You know, they're the closest thing to like that Royals bullpen or the Yankees bullpen last year of just like if their starters can get through five and then they can go Knebel, Hader, Jeffress, that is going to be very, very tough to score any runs off of.
I totally agree with you. Although I don't know. I think Hader
He struggled at the end of the year, but he was lights out in game 163.
Oh, for sure. He definitely was. Yeah. Yelich has to cool off.
Maybe. I mean,
I'm not saying it's going to be in the division series.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't
well,
see
sure,
this
Well, sure, yeah. He's not going to, like, I was telling you before about there was a, I think it was a three-game stretch where he went 4-for-6 with home runs and 8 walks. I was like, yeah, he's going to cool off from that.
He's certainly not going to do that. But because you remember how hot Daniel Murphy was in the NLCS against the Cubs, and then he just didn't do anything in the World Series?
Right.
Like, I feel like Yelich maybe won't have, like, a overall terrible series, but, like, he won't be an X factor in one of these series for the Brewers.
Sure. But I think
their
lineup depth comes in, where it's
then Kane, yeah.
Yeah, you can see Kane getting hot. You can see Aguilar getting hot. You can see Moose or Shaw or Arcia or, even Braun. Like, you can see sort of...
I can see that. Yeah.
You know, yeah, you could see Ryan Braun winning the NLCS MVP or something.
I totally can, yeah. Oh, boy. Would that be annoying?
So, I'm picking the Brewers, and then I guess I am also picking the Brewers to take out the Dodgers in the NLCS.
World Series for the Brew Crew.
World Series for the
Brew
Crew.
Second in their history.
Yes.
First in 36 years.
Good math.
Wow. Well, I was born a year before. or a year after they made the World Series. Okay, so I am going to pick... Okay, so now this is where it gets rocky.
Again? You already used that pun, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to use it all the time. I'm going to pick the Dodgers over the Rockies, but the Cubs over the Dodgers.
Oh, I see. So you're hedging
I'm
your bets
Rockies,
here.
I'm picking Rockies slash Cubs over Brewers regardless.
Okay.
Without a real good justification other than I just cannot pick the Brewers.
That's fair.
I do not see the Rockies beating the Dodgers in a 7-game series.
I agree.
I just think there's zero chance of that happening.
Yeah.
I do see the Cubs beating the Dodgers in a 7-game series.
Okay.
And in round three, right? That would be round three, three straight NLCSs.
Yeah.
And I think Cubs take round three to make it to the World Series.
Okay. So you have Cubs / Dodgers in the World Series, sort of. Okay, let's go to...
Okay, I think we could parse apart what I'm saying. Because
I get what you're saying.
Well, I know what you're saying, but I can't pick the Cubs to win this game.
Right.
But I think we could, you know, wink. I've made my prediction who's going to get the World Series.
You're like the announcer who's like not saying it's a no-hitter, yeah. But you're the guy who's saying, call your sons, yeah. Call your daughters, a historical night in,
Exactly. Yeah. Is what I'm going to do.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I
didn't even think that I was going to do this. Oh, it's probably going to be the Dodgers, but I'm not going to pick the Dodgers.
That's fair. Yeah. I like, you know, I respect what you're doing as a fan. I don't know that I'm quite as superstitious as you, but I respect it. Can't.
Not in the middle of a game. If we were to record this 4 hours earlier,
right.
It would have been so much easier.
Or yesterday when we were supposed to, and then I was like, no, let's wait.
Let's wait.
Okay, so American League, the wild card game, Yankees... versus Athletics. My head says Yankees. My heart says A's.
I'm with
and,
you.
You know,
where are you gonna go with?
I listen to my heart.
Ah, you're going to pick the A's?
Yeah, I listen. I'm
Who
a sensitive
starters?
Man.
I haven't looked.
The start. I know Severino is going for the Yankees. Let me
Hendricks. Look up. It just came on the screen.
It did?
I summoned it onto the screen. I'm going to pick the Yankees.
Hendricks?
That's what it says. Hendricks versus Severino right there.
Are they good? Are the A's going with
an opener? Hendricks
is a reliever, isn't he?
It's
Let me.
Hendricks
gets call. We got to break this down. Yeah, it's a bullpen game.
Dang.
Hendricks has only pitched 24 innings this year.
I like it. I applaud that move.
Wow, bold.
What? It's not even that bold because this. I was gonna just make the joke that you said Severino starting. Do you think Severino makes it to the fourth? If I gave you 3-1 odds, would you take the bet?
3-1 odds, I would, yeah.
Would if I gave you even odds?
I would not.
They makes it out of the fourth. I'll change it to out of the fourth.
Yeah, I would not. Oh, out of the fourth?
I said to the fourth, and now I'm changing it to out of the fourth. Do you think Severino makes it out of the fourth?
Yeah, I think it's probably like 60-40 that yeah, they right. pull him in like the third or yeah, or in the fourth.
So what I'm saying is this is essentially a bullpen game for the Yankees.
Yeah,
it'll
yeah.
probably be a bullpen
right.
game.
Well, he didn't even make it out of the first last year, right?
No, I think he'll probably pitch a little better than he did last year.
Yeah.
The Twins. I don't think I could pick the A's. I'm going to pick... Boy, Lester just got a really good call. I am going to pick the Yankees. I'm doing the opposite in the AL, what I did in the NL, and I'm going to pick the team that just makes way more sense to win this one. The team that won 100 over 100 games.
Yeah, but the A's have been better than the Yankees since June.
Is that true?
Yeah. I believe. Like, it's... I know what you're saying, but
yeah.
I think that, as weird as it sounds, it's, like, much closer than it appears. Like... The Yankees have stars, you know, but they haven't been playing that well, and they've dealt with a ton of injuries. I think most everybody's healthy, so obviously that is a point in their favor.
Right.
But I think it's easy to dismiss the A's because the Yankees are the Yankees, and they have Giancarlo Stanton, and, you know, like,
right.
for all the numerous reasons.
I'm not, I don't mean to discount the A's.
Yeah. But I think I actually, knowing they're going with a bullpen game, I, like, admire the chutzpah, you know?
Oh, I do, too. It made me almost switch my...
Because it's also, like, who else... Like, they're going to roll out Edwin Jackson for, yeah, you know, like...
Because Manea's out, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, done. I think Bob Melvin should win Manager of the Year, right? He has to. We didn't talk about that last time because it's not a real award.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. No, I think you're right. Definitely.
I don't know who else it'd be. Cora, just because they won so many games?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a rookie manager, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still picking the Yankees, but I see what you're saying.
Okay,
so
then
now we have
we got Indians, Astros, and we have Red Sox, Yankees for you, and Red Sox, A's
so
for
we'll
me.
So pick Indians, Astros first. Follow the format that we've done.
Yes, follow the detailed structure that we laid out in our extensive outline.
Yeah, our 4.5 hour pregame.
Yeah, exactly.
Meeting that we always have.
I think, for me, the Indians are such a weird team.
Right?
They should have been so much better than they were, and they haven't pulled it together.
Yeah, they seem like they're a playoff, like, built for the playoff team.
Yeah.
So are the Astros.
Yeah. I think the Astros are just deeper. And so I'm going to go Astros.
I'm going to go Astros, too.
Despite the fact that, like, I think the additions that the Indians made this year with Brad Hand and Josh Donaldson are, like, could be very impactful, and they do have Kluber and Carrasco, and Clevinger's having a really good year, and it'd be interesting to see. I don't know what they're planning to do with Bauer, but it'd be interesting to see them maybe turn Bauer into that sort of that Josh Hader guy, even of know, and have him and Miller be sort of these, like, dual inning guys. That's what I would do if I was managing them. And obviously, I'm much more qualified than
Terry Francona.
Yeah, Terry Francona. Yeah. But yes, but I think it's just hard to believe in them because they've underachieved so much, you know? And the Astros just have this, like you can't really point to a weakness.
I think the thing about the Astros to me is that, so, you know, it's the old cliche, but it's true a lot, where there's, like, a player that comes out of nowhere and steps up and has a monster series.
Yeah.
I could pick... Not necessarily out of nowhere for the Astros because their whole lineup is stacked, but I could pick 6 or 7 Astros that could very easily have that series.
Yeah,
I can't really confidently pick that many Indians.
Right. You don't feel the same about Melky Cabrera than you do about Josh Reddick or whatever.
Exactly. And even Correa, who has had kind of a down year, I guess, for him, like, he could have, like, you know, like, they have, to me, it's just that there are too many Astros that could explode. And since the Indians have underperformed, I just think it's too difficult to pick the Indians. I could see the Indians winning, and I think it probably works in the Indians' favor for it to be a 5-game series. But I think it's going to be the Astros.
Yeah. And so then I think Red Sox, regardless of who they play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Red Sox have a weird number of questions for a team that won 108 games. With how Sale pitched coming back and, you know, how Price has been in the playoffs and that kind of stuff. But I think that offense is insane. I don't see them losing in the ALDS.
I don't either. And especially and again, this isn't like maybe super analytical, but they've just seemed like every time I've watched them play the Yankees, they just look definitely better than the Yankees.
Yeah.
And they are definitely better than the Yankees.
And I think either way, it's kind of a big question, I guess, in baseball, what is the exact impact managers have and how do you quantify that? But I think thing that is like easy to agree on is they have a much bigger impact in the playoffs because every pitching decision, every lineup decision is more important over one or two games than it is over 162 games, right. You know? And so I do think it'll be interesting, I guess, to see how Cora handles that as a rookie manager. That's kind of like one question that I have about the Red Sox. But ultimately, I think like they just have too much talent to lose to either of the wild card.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like it would be crazy for them to lose this. They're too good to lose a 5-game series.
So we got Astros, Red Sox, and the ALCS.
Both agree to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's a tough choice. I'm going to go Astros.
Ooh.
Yep.
I should have thought about this more because I really didn't.
And that's why you come to listen to Ducksnort for detailed analysis. Like, I didn't really think about this very much.
I thought about everything leading up to that. Like, I didn't honestly think of my ALCS pick. I'm going to go Astros, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I was listening to it, and I can't remember actually if I listened to it or read about it, but an interesting point that I absorbed at some point along the line was like whether potentially all the injuries that the Astros had might like sort of help them protect against a World Series hangover from last year of like, having played an extra 20 games or whatever last year. If sort of some guys missing time, maybe they're a little bit fresher than they otherwise would be, which I don't know if, that God,
they just have so much firepower.
They really do. Across the board.
So do the Red Sox. But
across the board. And I think their bullpen is better this year than it was last year.
I think the point you brought up with how interesting it's going to be, this Cora is versus Hinch is going to be a real definite advantage for Hinch.
Yeah, I mean, Hinch pulled every lever correctly last year.
Yeah, and this is a situation where Hinch could definitely outmaneuver Cora.
Yeah.
I think
the Red Sox are potentially in trouble, especially if Sale does not pitch better. Like I think the Red Sox need Sale to be the best pitcher in the league in order to make it through the playoff gauntlet.
That Sale Verlander game one of that CS is going to be so hyped.
Yeah.
And potentially game five or four or whatever. Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang.
I mean, that'd be something to watch, you know, for sure.
I think it'll be the Astros. They're just so good, and they're so confident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been there before.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're predicting a Dodgers-Astros rematch?
No, I predicted the Brewers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was potentially predicting that.
Yeah.
So you're predicting Brewers-Astros.
I am, although I'm tempted to make it Dodgers-Astros because that was my prediction before the season.
Oh, it was.
Which is still in play, which is nice. But I think, knowing how the last couple of playoffs have gone, the Brewers bullpen is a pretty huge advantage over the Dodgers bullpen, which is very unpredictable, and the Cubs bullpen, which is very unpredictable. Yeah.
So that would be our first World Series rematch since 78, I think.
It's a nice little factoid.
I think 77, 78, the Dodgers-Yankees played back-to-back. Have we had one since then?
I'm trying to think.
I don't think so. Not a rematch. Not a complete rematch.
Yeah.
Because no.
Braves and Yankees didn't do it in the 90s.
They did,
96
and then 99.
Okay.
So they had a rematch, but just not in consecutive years.
Yeah.
And then Blue Jays when they went back to back as Phillies and Braves and Phillies. I don't think Yankees ever caught anyone in a back to back one. Phillies back to back was Rays Yankees.
Oh right, yeah.
Crazy. Here's the interesting thing to me about a Brewers Astros World Series is that World Series could have existed with the teams in different leagues.
Oh yeah, right. They swapped leagues. Yeah.
Yeah, because usually it's like, oh, the Brewers make it or the Astros make it. This World Series couldn't have existed 20 years ago.
Yeah. But it could have just mirror image.
So you have Astros Brewers.
Yeah.
I have either Dodgers Astros or Cubs Astros.
Wink.
Okay. Who wins your Brewers Astros? Boy, what a World Series that would be.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is I think that the Brewers are the team most equipped to compete with an AL team because of the bench pieces that they have, you know, and that they can really mix and match that DH slot with whatever they need for facing whatever Astros pitchers they're throwing.
Yeah,
with like,
the DH wouldn't hurt them at all.
Yeah, Thames or Santana or like Arcia. You know, put Braun at DH and put some Arcia or Shaw. You know, they've got a lot of different stuff they can do with that. Again, my brain says Astros, but my heart says Brewers. But I think this time I'm gonna go brain and say that
back-to-back champs.
As much as I think the Brewers have the best bullpen in the playoffs, I think that the Astros rotation just like far outstrips what the Brewers have.
Yeah, I think that's probably
getting 5 or 6 innings from like if they're playing it conservative and they're going 5 or 6 innings from Verlander and Cole, and I guess I don't know who they're. Are they going Keuchel or Morton? This is the thing. Is like they could go Keuchel or Morton or McCullers, and probably any of them are better than the Brewers' best starter.
And then the other ones are going to be coming out of the bullpen, and they're going to have these games where they pitch the back 5 innings.
Right.
And it's like, but here's one thing to maybe try to persuade you.
Okay.
I don't want the Brewers to win the World Series, but getting to listen to Bob Uecker call the last out of a World Series, it's pretty tempting.
Right. Well, in my scenario, either way, he's calling the last out of the World Series.
That is true.
It's just whether he's happy
or
sad.
For the Brewers, yeah. I'll say this. In my Dodgers-Astros scenario, which roll my eyes, I'm going to pick...
You've painted yourself into this corner, by the way. I don't know.
I'm giving clues about what my real
You're dropping hints,
are.
Yeah.
I'll pick the Dodgers over the Astros.
Okay. Rematch, but flip it upside down.
And then
that's what I picked preseason.
And then in 2019, I'm going to pick the third of that series, and then you'll have to wait to find out. But in the Cubs Astros World Series, wink, I'm going to pick your 2016 World Series champions to come back and have a little even year magic of their own.
Even year magic.
Oh, I hated that I even said that. I'll pick the Cubs over the Astros.
Let me ask you and answer this as much as you can without jinxing. How much of that is Whalen the fan and how much of that is Whalen the analyst?
I think the Cubs surviving the DS, I abandoned Whalen the analyst.
Whalen the analyst.
It's partly Whalen the fan. Part of it is that, you know, it's super hard to repeat. I'll do the best analyst. The Cubs, so I've watched a lot of the Cubs, obviously. When the Cubs have been very hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just posted in a thread for that baseball league we're in that the Cubs have the second most games scoring fewer than 3 runs or something like that. Fewest is the Astros or the Orioles.
By the way, I just realized by the time anyone listens to this except for me, it's very possible the Cubs are no longer in the playoffs.
Lost the playoffs. Yeah. So that's why I have my backup of the
okay, that's fair.
Dodgers.
That's, yeah, yeah, right.
The Astros. They might be happening right now. They could go very cold, but they've also gone against series against good teams, the Brewers included, where they've scored like 7, 8, 6 runs. You know what I mean?
Every game.
And I don't think the Astros are necessarily immune to that. And mm-hmm. I think there is a lot to be said for that they've played 20 extra games. They just played the Red Sox. So the analyst part, I don't think it's, and it's hard to win the World Series 2 years in a row. I don't think it's crazy to think that the Astros at some point can get beaten up.
Yeah.
Also,
well,
any team can lose
any series.
I think that Lester and Hamels are legit people that you could ride in the playoffs. I think the Cubs bullpen is in huge trouble, and it has been for a while, and I think that's the big Achilles heel. But it's not like the Astros bullpen is necessarily like super lights out.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, I think the Astros are, you know, say what you will about Roberto Osuna, the person, but Roberto Osuna, the pitcher, right, is certainly an upgrade over how Giles pitched last year. And then if they've got McCullers and or Morton coming out of the bullpen.
Definitely. But it's still
stunning to me that, they had Strope pitching pretty well, but the Cubs clearly needed a lights-out guy in their bullpen, they didn't do anything. And maybe they didn't have the pieces to do anything.
Well, they had Morrow, and then Morrow got more hurt than they expected.
But the Cubs could use Joaquin Soria. You know, he'd probably be the best pitcher in their bullpen right now, and the Brewers got him for almost nothing.
Yeah. I don't think it's crazy, the Cubs were, like, the second best team in the National League. Like, I don't think it's a weaker league. Obviously, the Astros are better than the Cubs on paper.
I'm not pointing at you and calling you dumb. You know what I mean?
It's like 30% fandom. I honestly think the Cubs can win the World Series. I've watched them all year, and when they're on, they're one of the best teams in the league.
And they do have a ton.
They're so hot and cold.
They have a ton of experience, for sure.
I think they're objectively better than the Brewers. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Brewers are bad, but I do think that they're better than the Brewers. I think they're objectively better than the Braves. And so I think, and the Dodgers had a worse record than them. I think the Dodgers are probably better or the same ballpark.
On paper,
but like something about the Dodgers didn't propel them. Is it crazy to pick them in a 7-game series over the Astros or Red Sox? Or probably Yankees, or maybe probably Indians. Yes, but I think if it got there, they could do it. If they make it to the World Series, they're obviously playing better.
Yeah,
is the other thing.
That's true.
But they also are so hot and cold that they could, you know, I could see the Astros sweeping them and the Cubs score a total of 3 runs.
Yeah,
like
they are a team too that. Going back to what I was saying about the Brewers, they do have the pieces to make use of the DH without.
Oh,
giving up
sure.
a huge advantage
with
to the
Schwarber.
Astros, which I don't think is necessarily true about the Rockies or the Braves.
Yeah. Rizzo's been hot. Baez, who's cooled off a little but still playing well. Like, they have the... I mean, if Bodhi has, like, he's been playing well. Like,
yeah, no. They do have...
There's a way they could do it.
Yeah. Okay, I was just curious.
Obviously, it was a homer pick.
Well,
right?
I know that. But I was curious about your sort of, like... more analytical opinion of the team.
Oh my God, that bullpen, I hate every second that it comes in, and I don't trust any pitchers past Lester and Hamels. I trust Hendricks to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But like Quintana, if he plays the role that we were just talking about with Astros pitchers, I trust him more in that.
But he
role.
Doesn't have the stuff that those guys
That's
have.
True.
You know, he's not a guy who's going to crank it up to 98 out of the bullpen.
No, but I trust him like a first time through the order kind of guy.
Yeah, that's
although
true.
He has been getting rocked in first innings a lot this year. I think Lester and Hamels are legit able to step it up. They're both old, so they could. There's just so many ifs.
Yeah.
It's like the Cubs' upside is so much different than their down. And I've seen both of them, and they both could happen in a series. Like the Cubs would go up 2-0 in a series where they win 10-3 each game and then get lose four
the rest
straight
of
games while scoring 3 runs.
Well, I do hope for your sake that they win this game that we're watching right now.
turning off.
Yeah, and I keep accidentally stepping on the remote control.
This happens. So when my wife and I are hanging out watching TV on the couch, I'm usually the one that does the remote, and I always put it on the couch. I never put it on our coffee table. And once a night,
at least
minimum, I roll over and stop what we're watching. And every night she's like, why? Don't you just put it on the table?
I do the exact same thing. I have my Roku is fairly old and I have a Blockbuster button on it. And I think finally the Blockbuster app doesn't exist. And it takes me to some other like movie app. But for the first like several years that I had this Roku, every time I hit a button, it would be the Blockbuster button taking me to the Blockbuster app.
Mine's always the Google Play one, which we don't have. I don't use it. It's the dumbest thing. Oh, there we go. Infield hit. No chance.
Nope.
Not with Murphy.
Well, let's take a little break. I was interested to hear your picks, and I was excited to pick mine because, of course, they'll be correct. So I will have bragging rights.
I feel so bad in this because I feel like you did such good analysis, and I just went with my gut and my heart. I was like Joe Morgan making these picks.
Fire WaylonMcQueen.com. It's fine. I think it's interesting to talk about. I only have the analytics because I have no investment in any of these teams because my team lost 100 games for the first time in nearly 40 years. They did. They lost 100. They lost their 100th game on the last day of the season. Very depressing. Very terrible end to the season.
There was at one point when the Royals first started to be bad, like in their late 90s, early 2000s.
Like 40 years ago?
No. This is the point.
I'm just kidding.
That I was always like, you know what? The Royals have never finished last in their division, no matter how bad they've been.
Yeah, that's no longer the case.
Oh,
we can
my
say.
God, no. But I think it was like 2000 or something that was still the case.
The White Sox did not finish last despite their 100 losses.
Because of the 104 loss, yeah. I think, Royals.
There were...
infield hit? No, Arenado's too good. Dang. And Contreras is too slow.
Last point before we get a break. Yeah. Three of the worst five records in baseball were in the AL Central this year.
The Tigers were that bad?
Yep.
Three of the worst five?
Yeah.
So the others were the Orioles, of course, and then were the Rangers.
The Marlins.
Oh, the MLB?
MLB. Yeah. It goes
three of the worst
Orioles,
five.
Royals, White Sox, Marlins, Tigers are the five worst teams in baseball.
Whoa.
Isn't that wild?
Congratulations, Padres.
Yeah, for real. You know what I said last point, but one more point. You know what's crazy about that is that the Twins couldn't play any better than they did in a division with three of the five worst teams in baseball, and they still finished with whatever, like 90 yeah. losses or whatever.
That's why Paul Molitor is gone. And it all comes back to Paul Molitor.
And this has been your yearly Paul Molitor update. Okay, so we'll be right back. We're going to pick our favorite and least favorite, speaking of the Marlins, Miami Marlins of all time. Welcome back. We are still sitting here watching the Cubs lose 1-0, potentially invalidating all of Waylon's baseball playoff picks, but hopefully not for his sake.
It's only 1-0. It's only the sixth.
Not sounding terribly optimistic. I like... I know we have a good friendship because, like, I actually don't want you... I don't want the Cubs to lose. Like, I don't want you to feel... pain right now.
Oh, thank you.
Despite the fact that, you know, I don't love the Cubs.
I think that unless it was against the Royals, I would root for the White Sox in this scenario.
I appreciate
that.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a one game playoff?
Yeah.
I guess unless it was against like the Mariners.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about this game.
So I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
I guess I'm torn, you know. I'm not rooting for either team. I'm like just interested to see how it plays out, which is a strange way to be watching.
Mariners
game.
Is literally the only AL team that I think I'd be like, sorry, dude.
I get it, but I feel like the Mariners are the Rockies of the AL.
Yeah, only with a little bit more history, and they've never been in the World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
And they once broke the record for most wins in a season and didn't make it to the World Series.
Yeah. So let's talk Marlins.
Of the Rockies. The team that was in the expansion is the same year as them.
Very good. Very
also,
good. You know what would be fun? Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
We should like go back and look at the expansion drafts of like 93 and 98 sometime and just see how many players we remember.
Yeah, I did that recently because I was watching a game. Oh, this was probably in May, but I was watching a game and they referenced like a coach or a player or something. I think I was watching against the Marlins or Rockies. And whoever the announcers were started talking about how they remembered the expansion draft.
Yeah.
And like we're naming these players and I was like, oh my God, what? And I was like, I got to look at these drafts.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
It would also be crazy to like do a mock expansion draft right now.
Oh
my
God.
It'd be like a lot of work.
We should do it.
Because both of us would be so into it.
Because
like including like making the protected rosters for all the teams.
Yeah. We'll look up the rules. We'll protect the players we do.
You know what? We'll each do like half the teams. We'll each do protected players for like half the teams or something.
Oh, and then send them to each other.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We can do all the work.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good idea. We're going to do it.
Okay.
Well, let's pick a date. January 7th. yeah, we'll do it in the offseason. I did look through it, though. It's also crazy that there are so many players you never heard of.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Hit for the Rockies. It's two out hit. It's all right. What I was going to say, also speaking of the Rockies, one of two teams who have never won the division, their division in baseball, the other being the Marlins.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's crazy because I did know the Marlins have won two World Series and did not win the division either year.
Those are the only two times they've even ever made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, and the Rockies.
And the Rockies have now made the playoffs four times?
I don't know, but they've never won the division. Yeah.
Rocktober, and they were all wild card. I know, last year they were a wild card team.
They lost to the Diamondbacks.
Then Rocktober, they were a wild card team.
The first time they were a wild card team in 95 or whatever.
Yeah, with like Vinny Castilla and Larry Walker and all those guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Facts. That's what you're getting. That's what you're getting on Duck Snort today. Factoids.
So least Marlins. Favorite Marlins. What a dumb team to do this.
There's no dumb teams, only dumb podcasters. We started talking about this last week. I guess let's pick up off where we left off last week, which is I thought I knew who your favorite Marlin was going to be.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you predict?
And my guess was Jose Fernandez.
Oh, you were wrong.
Okay. So I was wrong.
Not that I dislike Jose Fernandez. He's just not my favorite Marlin.
So who is your favorite Marlin?
My favorite Marlin is Hanley
My
Rivers.
Favorite Marlin, sorry, sounds like a movie.
Well,
like
my favorite Martian is.
That's what it is. Okay.
In a movie made with Jeff Bridges as the Martian.
Okay.
Not Jeff Bridges, Jeff Daniels. Hanley Ramirez is my favorite Marlin.
Interesting.
This was a hard one because I feel like the Marlins have had a lot of really fun young players that then they
this
lose.
This is true.
And I've usually liked them.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to pick against Giancarlo Stanton.
Sure.
It was hard to pick against Melky Cabrera, but he got Miguel Cabrera, but he got a very big hit against the Cubs in a certain year. and so I couldn't do it. I loved Hanley Ramirez when he was on the Marlins.
He was pretty electric.
He was so fun. I think people forget that.
Yeah, or
justifiably so.
Yeah, forget it because they're the Marlins, I think, and you know, it's not like anybody was going out of their way to watch the Marlins at that time.
Right. But I remember I was basing this one solely off of like who did I like remember just like super, and I loved Hanley Ramirez more than I loved like any Marlin at the time. Like I would be very interested in how Hanley Ramirez was doing. Believe it or not, he had defensive highlights at shortstop, if you remember.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, that could be what we were talking about earlier with his range might have just been bad, or that was off mic, but we were talking about
the Derek Jeter effect.
Derek Jeter. But
he had tools, you know,
he had a
big arm, he was a very exciting player.
Yeah.
30-30 guy, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
And he didn't win MVP, but there was a year where he was second, I think, right?
I don't know if he was second. That seems like a lot.
I'm looking it up. I thought there was a year. There was a year where he was second. 2009. Wow. And he was 30-30 in 2008.
Nice.
I was right about two things. I feel like I'm usually... In 2009, he lost two Pujols. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. I didn't realize he was second. But yeah, that was... I mean, he was... I think he's just been so... And I don't even like Hanley Ramirez now necessarily because of his attitude. But I sure loved him when he was a Marlin.
Well, those 3 years, 2007 to 2009, he had a 947 OPS over those 3 years. And then it was just a very dramatic downturn.
And he was playing short like that whole time.
Yeah.
Right. And then he started playing left, even with Miami or Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got traded to the Dodgers and he was, he had 1 year where he was like killing it for them, but he got hurt. Dang, Lester is
was because
hyped.
Lester struck out Holiday. They can't pull him. Anyway.
That's interesting. I feel like I can get behind that pick for you, but it's very specific to this like exercise we're doing of like he's only on the Marlins could he qualify.
Oh,
like
yes,
as a
absolutely.
Over his career, kind of an unremarkable player.
I would never even consider it.
Remarkable in his, like, how disappointing he was after he was on the Marlins.
And I guess I've kind of rarely done this where I'm just like, how can I super isolate I always try to do it, but this is like the, I think this is the most shining example of I loved Hanley Ramirez when he was on the Marlins. I've barely thought of him since then.
Yeah.
I mean, other than just he's constantly in the news because he's played for high profile teams.
And he got released earlier this year by the Red Sox.
Who's your favorite Marlin?
Okay, my favorite Marlin, I'm going to... Last week, I think I mentioned that I thought about Dan Uggla. And I did think about Jose Fernandez. And the one guy that I guess I put second place was Gary Sheffield. Because...
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just a big... I always liked Sheffield as a player.
I did too, but I don't associate him with any team.
I associate him with the Marlins because that's when I first
came
to be aware of Gary Sheffield was that 97
team. I remember Padres Sheffield.
Interesting. I don't remember Padres Sheffield. I, of course, remember him afterwards on the Dodgers and all those teams that he played for.
Yeah.
But he was a monster for a while for the Marlins.
Speaking of expansion drafts, I think he was an expansion draft guy.
No,
I think the Padres let him go. Or was he a free agent?
He was a trade, I believe.
I'm probably wrong.
I only say that because I'm looking at his baseball reference. Yeah, it was a mid-season trade.
In what year?
It was the Trevor Hoffman trade, as a matter of fact. 1993. Gary Sheffield was traded for Trevor Hoffman from the beginning.
That's where I was getting confused. So he was there.
He got middle of 1993.
Which is still insane to think about an expansion team getting Gary Sheffield. Because he was still good. He was good then.
Right.
So I did know what...
That is pretty crazy. Also, was he still a third baseman then? Yeah, he was a third baseman when the Marlins traded for him. And it was the Marlins that moved him to the outfield. Anyway, thought about Gary Sheffield, not picking him. I am going with Dontrell Willis.
Oh, God, that's such a good one.
Thank you. I was proud of it. Sure, I'll say it. I'm not afraid to say it. I made a good pick.
that is a really good one. I actually forgot. I would not have picked Hanley, but Dontrell would have been up there with Stanton and Cabrera because those are the two I considered.
Just one of the most fun players in the league for like those first 3 or 4 years when he was on the Marlins. Kind of coming out of nowhere, that massive leg kick, the like little cocked baseball cap just a little bit to the side.
Yeah.
Oh
man, he was so fun to watch.
He was so fun, and he was a great hitter.
So was LeVon Hernandez.
Yeah, very different reason to be fun to watch.
Definitely.
LeVon was not. He's an innings muncher. You know?
Dontrell Willis was like, he was like one of those like they don't come around very often type players.
Yeah, definitely.
Like he just kind of stormed in and was so weird, like you were saying. That's such a good one.
Thank you. I remember at the time there was a lot of talk about the lack of African American players in baseball,
yes,
as there sort of still is. And then him coming and like lighting the world on fire in the midst of that talk was kind of cool. And he was like really, really good for a few years. And it's really sad that he fell off the table so quickly, but it also almost adds to the mystique a little bit of he was just this like electric player who burnt out. He was unsustainable. This is going to be on this quote. You ready for this quote?
Yeah.
It's going to be on posters. Somebody's going
to
make a poster of it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay. He's the James Dean of pitchers. He flew too close to the sun.
He's not the James Dean of pitchers.
But I think that he made the Marlins fun, and that players who have done that, Marlins teams that have been fun, are few and far between.
Yeah, that's a great pick. That's just like a super excellent pick. I won't change mine because Hanley was, I think, just as fun, if you remember, but Dontrell Willis.
But similar.
I forgot about what it was like his first year.
Yeah.
I really did.
Similar to Hanley in the like sort of like burning out, like went to another team and just wasn't good. I mean, not quite the same. Like Hanley was still a productive player, and Dontrell Willis, I'm looking at his baseball reference right now. So he was worth 17.2 wins in 5 years for the Marlins.
Okay.
And in the other 5 years that he played, partial years for the Tigers, Diamondbacks, and Reds, he was worth -1.7 wins.
I can't believe he stuck around for five more years.
Well,
he
came back as like a lefty in the bullpen, like a bullpen guy.
Yeah. A loogie.
A loogie.
Yeah.
Or actually,
he played for the Reds?
Yeah, I guess he started for the Reds. Maybe he didn't even make it back to the majors as a reliever. Yeah, he really didn't. Not that the Tigers regret that trade, of course, in which they got Willis and Miguel Cabrera.
Right.
But what a steal it seemed like at the time to get those two guys.
Yeah, I remember that. Man, Cabrera was so good. I'm surprised neither of us picked Stanton or Cabrera, although you made a very good pick. Okay.
I mean, I think of Cabrera as a Tiger, and I think as much as Stanton is a fun player, he's never been a particularly like uniquely outstanding player in my mind. And I know that
But man, does he hit the ball a long way.
He sure does.
I think in a way, Judge ruined our view of Stanton a little bit.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
No. It's fine. But Judge feels like 1.2 Stantons to me. Do you know what I mean? Like he's 20% more Stanton, so he's like 20%
he's like
more
bigger
interesting.
Than Stanton. He hits the ball far. He played for the Yankees right away.
Yeah.
So least favorite Marlins. This was tough for me.
It was tough for me too. Jeffrey Loria, I think, is the easy answer.
Yeah.
If
I'm
you're
trying to keep
accepting
on the field.
Non-players, but I've picked a couple of off-field guys, but I decided to go on-field, and so I went with despite the fact that Jeffrey Loria is much more hateable than any Marlin.
He's objectively the worst Marlin. I think we can just agree with that.
I am going with AJ Burnett.
Oh, okay.
For no particular reason except that he was always off-putting to me. I think maybe that's enough.
I don't disagree. Yeah, I think that's enough. I think there are players like that, man. I think I've picked a few players that are just like,
I remember when we were picking the Reds, our Reds, and you picked Michael Lorenzen because of his punchable face. And I think AJ Burnett has a punchable face. Yeah.
I am insanely distracted by this game. I'm very sorry. Do you have anything more to say about AJ Burnett?
I remember him having dumb hair. I think he had like bleach blonde hair when he was on the Marlins. I remember him when he was, I don't remember what, maybe when he was on the Yankees, but it just seemed like he was like always causing a ruckus by saying something dumb, kind of.
Was he one of the dudes that was on the Pirates when the Pirates started resurrecting pitchers for like three straight years? Yeah, he was like the first one, I think, right? Yeah. I feel like I've never had any opinion about AJ Burnett, but I get disliking him. Sober as a drug out. My least favorite Marlin, I was tempted to pick the entire 2003 team.
That's fair.
The 2003 World Series is one of two World Series since 1992 that I did not watch a single second of.
You were too heartbroken by the NLCS?
I was too heartbroken by the NLCS, so I did not watch a single second of that World Series. The other World Series I didn't watch was the 2005 World Series.
You son of a bitch.
Because at the time, it was my least favorite team and my 28th favorite team playing each other. So only the
That's
Cardinals
White Sox Astros if
yeah,
people
White
are...
White Sox Astros. I've warmed up to the Astros since they got out of my league and division. I was also...
Oh, wow. Terrible play by David Dahl right now
Hap did not get to third, though.
Because he was holding up.
Yeah.
But wow. It must be windy.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're not listening to the broadcast right now, so that
could
potentially... Could you imagine
trying to record a podcast while we're listening to a broadcast?
No, I couldn't.
It is, with the TV on.
Yeah, it is distracting enough to just be watching it.
I was also tempted to pick Alex Gonzalez because the other Alex Gonzalez made the error in that World in the NLCS that cost me, and I was tired of giving
by transference.
I was tired of them getting confused anyway.
Which one did the Cubs have? Did they have the guy? I mean, I guess there's no way. One of them was an all-star a couple times. Was that the guy that the Cubs had?
No, I don't think.
So that's the guy
that
the Marlins had who had like good power and made the all-star team.
I could very much be wrong.
I think
that the Cubs had the bad one.
Keep talking. I'll update you.
Anyway, so these were all my...
Yeah, the Cubs had the non-all-star one.
So these are all my joke suggestions that I had. I am going to go with, I think I'm going to go with Luis Castillo. Only because he hit the Bartman hit. I didn't have another one. I don't really, there
that's
are no
fair.
Marlins that I super hate. I thought about Mike Lowell kind of, for, I think for the same reason that you picked AJ Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
Just like never really cared for him.
No, I always liked Mike Lowell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fair pick. I always actually liked Luis Gonzalez a lot. Or not Luis, Luis Castillo a lot. Because
I
think
kind of indifferent about him.
I mean, it, yeah, I think that is fair, and I think your reason for picking it is fair. I just think he's a guy who I just like his skill set because it's not particularly common, and I think it's hard to sort of scratch out as productive a career as he had with that that profile of like literally no power, like one of the
like Ozzie Smith power.
Yeah, Ozzie Smith power, but with a really good batting eye.
Yeah.
I think that is really hard to do, and I think he's actually probably, if you had to pick a guy who you were like, this guy is the Marlins, he might be the guy for me.
I would pick Jeff Conine.
That's fair. He was the first
like he
Marlin.
Was like, and he I still might, or maybe Ugla passed him.
But like
have like the games as a Marlin record. Maybe
Conine?
Maybe Castillo does actually.
I mean, Castillo played for them for 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has played for the Marlins longer than him.
How
just
could you?
Because they've only been around for 25 years.
And they get rid of players constantly.
Yeah.
Let
me see. I wonder if I can find like a leaderboard for most games played. Stanton is the leader in WAR. Ramirez is second. Josh Johnson is third, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Castillo is fourth, and Dontrell Willis is fifth.
Castillo, I don't necessarily dislike him, but I do dislike that entire 2003 team. I was going to pick Josh Beckett, but I do like Josh Beckett for beating the Yankees. So that's why I didn't pick Beckett.
Castillo is the Marlins' all-time leader in games played by 114 games over Conine.
Okay. I'm going to pick Castillo just because he hit the Bartman thing. That
that's
was a
fair.
Terrible low moment.
I told
in
you
my
that's
life.
Very. You don't have to argue with me.
Cabrera did hit the Aegon one, but I can't pick Miguel Cabrera as my least favorite.
Yeah.
He's too good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just hate that 2003 team.
Yeah, this was.
I thought about picking Pudge Rodriguez just because like he represents that 2003 team to me. Because
it was the only year that he was on the Marlins.
And he was like their leader. He did the same thing as he did the Tigers like 4 years later. But what I was saying, I don't dislike Pudge Rodriguez. Like, you know, so my sacrificial lamb is going to be Luis Castillo.
Yeah, well, this was a really interesting one to think about for like all just certainly sorting through a bunch of players that I haven't thought about in a long time, like Luis Castillo and Jeff Conine.
I feel like you just feel sorry for Marlins players, right?
A little bit. I mean, as sorry as you can feel for a Major League Baseball player making a lot of money and being really good at baseball.
It's hard to have a least favorite because either of your favorites who are like Gary Sheffield, Ivan Rodriguez, Bobby Bonilla,
mm-hmm.
these players that had these that led them to these titles, Edgar Renteria, but then the ones that you hate, it's hard to hate one because you're just like, man, I'm sorry you played for the Marlins. Sorry that, like, I feel so bad for Starling Castro.
Yeah,
like, or even Justin Bour or JT Realmuto. Like, that has to be a terrible situation to be.
Yeah, in. Yeah, got to be tough to be Realmuto this year for sure.
And last year it felt so good. Probably you're like, oh, I got Ozuna, I got Yelich, I got like, and then,
well. Hopefully there's better days ahead for whatever Marlins fans are remaining and whatever Marlins players become the next generation. Yeah, it'd be nice to see them have one player who you could, like, theoretically retire their number or build a statue of.
Oh, they don't have one at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, Jeff Conine, maybe.
He retired Jeff Conine's number.
But
I see what you're saying.
You know, it's like the Rockies have a bunch of guys, Matt Holliday being probably the most recent, but like Larry Walker, like Todd Helton, they have those guys. The Diamondbacks have those guys. Even the Rays have Evan Longoria and Carl Crawford.
I mean, you could even make a case for like Scott Kazmir for the Rays.
You could. I wouldn't be the one to be arguing.
I guess that's
it,
pretty similar to making the Jeff Koenig.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully the franchise has better days ahead.
Sure. Maybe they'll win a division someday.
Maybe. Maybe the White Sox will win a division again someday.
Do you think? I mean, the White Sox will win a division before the Marlins will, right?
I don't have a lot of faith right now, but that's a discussion for a different day. Maybe that's an off-season discussion.
KB!
Wow.
Nice.
Just got an outfield assist from Chris Bryant. Huge. Some dorky-looking pitcher loved it.
Yeah, that's Jesse Chavez, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it was.
You guys probably don't care about our live play-by-play of this game.
This game
so,
that's over and
yeah,
that doesn't matter.
Maybe we'll call it an episode here, but we'll have more playoff talk coming at you over the next few weeks. So come back and listen once again. Check out Boardwalk Audio. Check out Off the Bench Baseball. Follow us on Twitter at DuckSnortPod. Leave a review if you please. Thanks to Moonbounce for our transition music. That's about it. Keep watching baseball.
Next
it's going to be a fun
we'll
playoffs.
Have more playoffs to talk about.
Definitely. Cool. Yeah, we'll talk to you guys then.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.